All right, well today, ladies and gentlemen, is the last, as a church, fast for the final day. And we have walked through a 21-day fast, and it's been just as expected, but I believe even more than expected personally in my life, because I've stepped back and watched us as a church and observed things. And God has worked in your life in great ways. And has not only done that in your personal life, but has worked in this church. We have seen a lot of great things happen during this fast. So I just want to say, not a big thank you, but a congratulations. Because you are now entering into a new level of spirituality that you maybe some of you may never experience, or you're still experiencing, and you have gone to that next level no matter where you are in your walk with Christ. I'm also encouraged because you guys stuck with it. I know we were all tempted. I've heard the stories. I was tempted. Okay? That's just called being a human. That's called being a person. And so we went through that temptation, and we did those things as a church, as a team. And each Wednesday we would meet together, and it was so great because we would meet together, encourage and build each other up. It reminded me of a football game, kind of like, you know, you're at halftime, you know, or intermission, whatever sport you like. And we would build each other up and have a game plan and keep going. And I'm going to share a story that was happened just last Wednesday. And I know you'll be encouraged by that. But there's 10 things that I wrote down that was my prayer for you and for me and this church. And what that prayer was and during this fast, was that number one, you denied the flesh and you became desperate to God. You denied the flesh and became desperate to God. Lord, here I am. I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I need you. The second thing, you overcame temptation. The third thing, you grew stronger in Christ. And the emphasis on you grew. You got better. You got stronger. Your prayer time, number four, was extended. Number five, your Bible reading time was extended. Number six, you humbled yourself and took away any kind of pride that all of us struggle with at times. Number seven, you took steps in faith and you got out of your comfort zone. Number eight, you prayed. And not only prayed, but prayed for this church. Number nine, you prayed, but prayed for the community. You prayed for your family. You prayed for loved ones. You prayed for friends, coworkers. But you prayed and prayed desperately. And number 10, you're ready for the next step after this fast. And so another thing that I was hoping and praying for is that, yes, Wednesday nights we have that study, but also that you have a better understanding of how God works. As I said, we studied the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights, and the Holy Spirit does great things. And these are a couple of things that I have written down during that study that Doug Clay has shared during our series on Wednesday nights, in that the Holy Spirit, He gives us conviction. Yes, He draws us into church, into prayer, and this and that, and corrects us whenever we're in the wrong. Yes, but He also does a lot of wonderful things. He gives us peace. He gives us freedom. Freedom from our past. Freedom from our sins. He gives us hope. Hope whenever there is no hope that we see. He gives us love. And a lot of times we think of love as emotional. But you don't know love until you know God. The Holy Spirit gives us love that we can't even understand. What Jesus did, we can't even comprehend, because there's no greater love than that. He is the advocate. As Jesus said, I'm sending the advocate. He's not the assistant. He doesn't assist you, He's the advocate. The Holy Spirit's for you, He's not against you, and He wants you to draw closer to Him. And during that time, you depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Walking in the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is the byproduct. And you see that throughout Paul's writings. And so, yes, today is our last day of fasting. I know. You're weeping. Some of you are crying, devastated. Some of you look happy. But it's over for most of you. Some of us started a little earlier. Some of you are starting at lunch or you're ending after church. So I'm going to go till about 3:30. That's okay. No, I'm just kidding. But something else was always amazing. Or something else is amazing that happened. Some of you extended that fast. And then last Wednesday, I had an individual share during that time, is that she was at work, and And she heard a voice and it said, extend the fast. Keep going. So she heard it again. And she knew it was God. And so she's extending her fast from 21 days to 40. She started with one chapter of reading in the Bible a day, and now it's 3 chapters of Bible reading a day. Her coworkers see her do these things, and now they are asking questions. She's showing them what she's doing by her actions.
Right.
And not only is her life going to be beneficial, but she's showing an example for us.
Right.
That's what it's all about, folks. And she's not doing it for the numbers. She's not doing it to have glory and fame. We talked about being humble about this. She's very humble about this. But I just want to encourage you that God is working in our lives.
Amen.
When we step out, He'll probably challenge us more. And I encourage you to take it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I put this picture up here, thank you, Reuben, about climbing the ladder. And I was thinking of an analogy. What would be something good that all of us could probably relate to and something that we've all done in our lives, but also that could stick with us? And so I thought of a ladder. But there's more to it than just this ladder here. As you guys know, to get to the top of the ladder, you have to what? Start at the bottom and take each step up. Now, what's the problem with that? The problem with that is the more you get up, the more difficult it can be, a little more fearful it can be, a little more maybe you're a little scared, but you know you're getting to your destination. Now, I thought about bringing the church ladder up here and taking a step, but two problems. Number one, I wouldn't go very far, you know, because I'm already tall and I'd eventually hit my head on the ceiling. But the other thing was is that ladder is very sketchy, and I'm afraid that it would break while I'm up there. And it would be funny, but I'd probably get hurt. But I want you to try to picture a ladder, maybe as a childhood or something that you used to climb up. Try to relate with me here. And there's times where you climbed up that ladder to do a job, maybe on a roof or painting or trying to get something up at the top. Just work with me here. But you remember that time where you were climbing up that ladder, and the more you got up, the more intimidating it felt and the more scared you got. You begin to look down, you begin to look back, and the ladder began to shake a little bit. Are you with me here? And as you got more and more, you got a little more scared. Should I take another step? Should I take another step? But eventually you got to the top and then you forgot about it, right? Well, in our walk during this fast, I've seen a lot of people take steps on a ladder. And they're good steps. And as a church, we need to continue to climb that ladder. And we're going to talk about gifts and things like that that we can use in the church. But I just want to talk about the church really fast. The church is not this building. I know we're seeing great things in the church and all these cool things are happening, but the church is us. It's not the material things. It's a group of believers together. And as we did this as a church, I've seen us grow and grow together as a church. But the only thing that I'm kind of, not worried, but a little fearful about is that we're content with the results and we just leave it the way it is. Some of us may be at the bottom. Some of us may be really up there at the top. And you think, man, I did really good at this fast. Now I'm just going to go back to what I was doing. And you go into a plateau or decline. Today, I want to encourage you to keep going.
Amen.
As a church, we're never to be satisfied with a couple of people who come in or, you know, Holy Spirit moves or, you know, we're getting, you know, we finally got a worship team, right? We finally got people coming in who want to help and serve in the church. It's exciting. And a lot of times, we could just say, all right, you know, we prayed for some things and God came through. All right, let's just, you know, let's just start meeting. But as a church, we are to never be content with the results. The reality is there's people that need Jesus. The reality is that there's people that are hurting. There's people that are living in a dark, dark place. This is a dark, dark world. The reality is that no matter how many people come in, there's more that need Him. So as we continue after this fast, let's keep taking those steps on that ladder. Some of you saying, well, I mean, I get this, you know, we're a team and all these things. But there's different things that we can do, and we all have different talents that God can use us for. And that's what I'm going to get into. And I want to go to Ephesians 4. Anybody ever read Ephesians? It's a powerful, powerful book. I encourage you to read it. Read Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus, and the Apostle Paul and his disciples were evangelizing there for about 3 years, as scholars tell us. And he wrote a summary about salvation by grace through faith. But Paul also talked about the church. And that's what we're going to look at. And it's a little lengthy, so bear with me here. And Paul says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Let's stop right there for a second. We talked about being humble. But I encourage us as a church to be gentle to people. We have a lot of people that are hurt. When I sit down and talk with individuals in this church and outside this church, not all the time, but many times, when you begin to dig a little bit to the dirt, you see there's a lot of pain. A lot of pain. And it may not be from somebody who did that in this church. Maybe in their personal life, but they're in pain. And we must always have the mindset to be humble and gentle in those situations. A lot of times they're ready for you to try to front them out and try to, you know, hit them on the head with the hammer and tell them, you need to do it this way. And so they're waiting for that opportunity. But as you begin to gently and humbly minister in their lives, they begin to open up. And then through that, by love, you begin to establish a relationship with other people. And then they begin to step out of their comfort zone. So always be humble and gentle and be love. In verse 3, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. As I just said earlier, the Holy Spirit gives us peace, but we can give peace to others as well. Through prayer, through comfort, through encouragement in their lives. You know, it's amazing how just a few words goes a long way. There's been times in my life where it gets really stressful with school and work and different things, and I'll just get a random text message from somebody I haven't talked to in months, and they just say, hey, God bless you. Thinking about you, prayed about you. My whole day's changed. Little things. People remember those things. God will put you in those situations. Take a step on that ladder and watch Him do it. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. Verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. I know that's kind of hard for our minds to grip. You know, I got to be honest with you. Can I just share something with you? The Trinity has always bothered me because I'm just a straightforward guy. With a human mind, I'm thinking, okay, I grew up in church, it's one God, but it's three persons, but it's one God. It's not three gods, but it's one, but it's three. And I've heard all the analogies, the egg, the water, you know. And I get it, you're trying to explain to how God, but my answer is, I don't know. That's way beyond my mind and my thinking, and I don't want to compare God as an egg. You know, I love eggs, but I love God much more, right? But it's one God that we serve, and it's a mighty God. It's one faith, all of us together. It's one baptism. And as a church, we have to keep that in mind. And then in verse 7, he says, however, he has given each one of us a spiritual gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. And in verse 9, this is the New Living Translation, by the way. If you have problems reading New King James, there's other translations. I like this translation myself. It's a lot easier to read, and it's also pretty spot on with context here. And he said, notice it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. Christ chose to come down here and make the sacrifice for us, and now he's ascended into heaven. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens. He's above everything, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. That's a powerful chapter. You got pretty much the basic thing of salvation, what we're talking about here. And now we know what to do as a church when God gives us these gifts. And we believe that God still gives us gifts today. We don't believe that spiritual gifts have deceased. We don't believe that anything's perfected until Jesus Christ returns. We're always going to be wrong, and there's always going to be lost people. There's always going to be work to be done. And we're not perfect, right? So these spiritual gifts are still here today. And in verse 11, he says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers." And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, Paul talks about other things in the body of Christ, and if the Lord leads, we'll go into that later on. But I want to focus on verse 11 really quick. And the first thing that he says is the apostles. We hear about the apostles and who they were. We know that they went to places where Jesus said to go. The apostles traveled to spread the gospel. You know, people still do that today. We call them missionaries. Some of them stay there for a while. Some come back. That's what the apostles did. The apostles went and proclaimed and preached that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he did rise from the dead. What you've been hearing is true. We saw it with our own eyes. We've seen the Holy Spirit move in our lives, and they took the Holy Spirit with them when they went. The same thing could happen today. You know, some of you may be called. Some of you may be called to different areas, different countries. God may put a calling on your life. I want to encourage you that that happens, that you need to pursue that. But there's apostles. The second thing is prophets. Some of you may know what prophets are. Basically, a prophet is somebody that God uses. The Holy Spirit gives revelation through words through them. The person's not God. God uses them to give words. And when I say revelation, I want to make something clear. I and the Assemblies of God does not believe that you can give a revelation of word and it changes Scripture. And that's why we want to equip you with this. If somebody says, "The Lord gave me a word," and I'm not saying that they're false or they're wrong, okay? What I'm saying is that it has to line up with the Bible. The Bible is the authoritative source and guidance for our lives. And if the Scripture says something else, it's not of God. Be alert about that, okay? And I'm not trying to discourage you. You know, there may be people who give, you know, prophetic words. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're a prophet. God can use anybody. I mean, come on, he made a donkey talk, right? He can make you talk. God can use you. But I'm just saying, be aware. And just know, if it lines up with Scripture, and that it does come true, it was God. But there's spirits all around. So we have to discern that. And we'll get into those gifts and those things later on. But I just want to tell you a little bit about prophets. Somebody may give you a word of prophecy, which means something that happens in the future, or they may reveal it now. Okay? But be aware, that's still alive and well today. We believe that. And the third thing is evangelists. Proclaiming the news to people. I know for a fact I'm looking at some evangelists here. Because I have seen and talked to you, and you may not even realize it, but you're evangelizing in this community. I've had people tell me, "No, I was talking to this person at a store, and the Lord told me to invite them to church." So they just pull out a card and say, "Hey, you know what? I go to this church right here, and why don't you come visit us sometime?" People at the grocery store, at the laundromat, whatever it may be, wherever you go, you can always have an opportunity to evangelize to people and tell them how the good news is Jesus Christ, and that he's still alive and well today. Anyone can be used by God is what I'm trying to say here. And some of you may have these gifts now, and if you do, I encourage you to pursue them and go and climb that ladder and continue to get stronger and go higher, because God will help you develop those gifts during that time. So, I've gone through all these things. Right? You may be thinking, "Okay, Roberts, what's the catch? What do you got to do? You got to give 20% tithes and pray four more prayers. No, I don't like that. There's no catch, okay? This is what you have to do to qualify for it. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, okay? You got to believe that the Bible is the authoritative rule and source for your life and faith, and you practice it. And the third thing is you just simply have to open up your heart and say, Lord, use me. Use me. I talk with people all the time. Oh, man, Sean, you know, doing prison ministry, man, I've done time. I've done these bad things. But, you know, there's a lot of people that they see a preacher and they shut down. But if they see somebody that they used to run with, who used to do those things that they were doing, and they say now that Jesus changed him, that could be a bigger impact. You may be more usable. Now, God can use anybody. Please don't misunderstand. But God can use you just as much, if not in a more effective way to an individual through your past mistakes. Because you can say, look, you saw what I used to do, and now look what I'm doing now. God is real. Jesus is legit. And I'm telling you right now, if you just simply follow him, trust me, you know me, right? Well, just come with me to church, come with me to these situations, and you'll see that happen. All you have to say is, Lord, use me. I want to be used. Perfect example is this is Jesus Christ himself. You know, we talk about Jesus and the death and the resurrection, and all those things that's what it's all about, right? Because through him, by grace, through faith, we have eternal life. But you know, another awesome thing about Jesus is that he lived it. He showed us how to live. It's his life that's important as well. So for 30 years, Jesus was humble. Jesus was Mary and Joseph's son. Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus went to the people in the neighborhood. And the people knew who Jesus was. But they didn't know that he was the Messiah. They knew him as Mary and Joseph's boy. Because when he began to do these, and he began his ministry, you see in the word, he says, isn't this Jesus? Mary and Joseph's son? Jesus was humble about it. He took it serious. He lived a perfect life. And yeah, we can't do that. But he lived it. Jesus went to the neighborhoods and established relationships. And through that relationship, they earned respect. Jesus showed reliability. He said, hey, brother, God bless you. But then he came back and had a friendship and a relationship with him. He built trust with those people. And so you'll see, and you know this, but in the spiritual time of evangelizing and those things, you also see that friendships and relationships are usually the key in order to bring someone to Jesus Christ. They have to trust you. I love evangelists, I love street ministry, I love all those things. But I'm just telling you right now, if a stranger comes up to me and says, I need to accept the Lord, I don't know who he is, I'm going to say, who are you? I don't know you. But if he comes up to me that I've known for many, many years, and he says these things, I'm going to take a consideration of it. Some of us may need to climb that ladder in life. Some of us may need to climb that ladder in faith and steps and allow the Holy Spirit to move and give us boldness in those times. When Jesus took on flesh and bone, he gave us the perfect example on how to live. Jesus confronted people. He corrected people. Yes. Jesus showed and he fronted out the Pharisees. We know that Jesus had a side of him, but it was in love and he showed it. He lived it. That is how we are used by God. And that is the example that we need to live as a church body and outside these doors. That's a pretty tall order to ask. I know that. There's times where we fall short. I know that. But as long as we wake up every day and say, Lord, I'm now in a more deeper, stronger relationship with you. Please use me. When you have this mindset, and now we all know how to do it, maybe you don't know how to do it, now you do, you see that it will work. And I encourage you that these gifts are for you. God wants to use you. Now some of you may be saying, well, you know, I'm not in the, you know, I like to sit down on the first row and I like to do things behind the scenes, humbly, quietly. I don't like to get up in front of people and talk and things like that. God can still use you. There's a lot of things that people do in this church that you don't know, because they do it before hours or after hours or at night, and they don't want any recognition. God sees that. He rewards you for that as well. Some of you may be here and you say, you know what, to be honest with you, Pastor, I've been on that ladder before, but I stepped off of it. And I'm not on that ladder at all. I want to encourage you that that ladder is still approachable today. And all you have to do is just give it to Him. One more analogy that I want to go to tie into that is this. A lot of times you get on a ladder and it's real shaky and wobbly. What do you usually do if you have a buddy with you? The buddy's down at the bottom and he holds the ladder. And although they probably can't catch you if you fall off, you still have that mental capacity that, hey, he's holding the ladder, it's more stable, it's more, you know, it's better to go up there. And if something does happen, there's somebody here. In your life, you may be in a situation where you've fallen off the ladder and you need somebody to hold the ladder or to remind you that someone is holding the ladder. God is holding the ladder today for you. Amen. Some of you may be at the top of the ladder and you look down or back. I'm talking about the past. I'm talking about the enemy. I'm talking about Satan. And you will encounter that. You're on that ladder. Just remember, there's somebody down there holding the ladder for you. The Bible says that Jesus is interceding on our behalf. Jesus is for us, not against us. What He paid at Calvary was something that we cannot pay back. We don't deserve it, yes. But there's more to it. He's alive and well. And He sits at the right hand of God and He's interceding on our behalf. There is someone that's holding that ladder. Do you guys get what I'm saying here? Do you get what I'm trying to compare here? This is something that's good and that all of us need to do. Wherever we're at on this ladder, God wants us to take another step. And He's holding it for you.